Well, hello again. This is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church. We're located at 191 Crossroad Lane, Evington, Virginia. You can visit us online at www.crossroadbc.com. Obviously, you're already there. But nevertheless, we want to bring you God's Word. I'm starting a new series, a new study on the fire of God. Why do we need the fire of God in our lives? What will it do for our testimony and our character if we have this fire of God in our lives? And so those are some of the questions that we want to deal with. It's going to be a five-part series that we'll be preaching from, and we certainly want you to stay tuned and visit our website again so that you can have other growth material to help you in your spiritual walk. But in a minute, we're going to invite you to the first chapter of third chapter of 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 4. But right now, let's pray. And I want to pray specifically for you and some of the things that you need in your life. At the close of this message, we will be sharing communion with you. So if you have some grape juice and a piece of bread, we're going to break bread together and celebrate the remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and your grace. I pray for those that are listening. I pray for those that are viewing online that you would touch their hearts, strengthen them where they're weak, and build them up, Lord, so that they can trust you more and serve you better. And as we start this study on the fire of God, Lord, cause it to burn in our heart to bring the revelation of your truth that we might be able to walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for all these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me invite you to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. To give you some context with this, Samuel is one of those prophets. As a matter of fact, he's the first of the prophets of God that were used to help God's people understand how they needed to commit themselves and remain true to the living God. But before he knew the Lord, as a child, he grew up under Eli the priest. And we find these words written in 1 Samuel 3. And the child Samuel ministered to the Lord under the direction of Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli had laid down to sleep in his place and his eyes began to wax dim because of his age that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." I want to share this message in our series, The Fire of God, and this message is entitled, Relighting the Fire. Now, there were two significant things that happened in these verses that a lot of us would simply pass over. We would pass by. But I think it's good that we observe it as we talk about this fire of God. The first thing that we would note is that the word of the Lord, it says in verse 1, was rare or precious in those days. There was no open vision, or there was no vision where people could hear the word of God proclaimed clearly. Now that's interesting because these are God's covenant people, which means they have to listen to God's commands and they have to carry out God's commands. And it's through the proclamation of God's word that their faith is confirmed in them. But it says the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord that had been given by Moses was rare in those days. What caused that? What led up to this fact that they no longer had any open vision? And we can also apply that in our day, and we will do that in just a minute. But the second thing that happened that I think was very significant, it said that the lamp of God went out in the temple, and Eli went to sleep. As if to say, no big deal. Oh, the lamp, we'll light it in the morning, or we'll light it some other time. And that's what prompted me to prepare this message and to pray to God for this message, because I feel that it is important that we have the light of God in our lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Exodus 27 and verse 20 that the children of Israel were supposed to supply the priest with olive oil in order to cause the lamp to always burn continually. It was to always burn continually, which was a representation that the people of God had the light of God. So you got two things happening in this verse. You've got where the word of God is precious, but you also have where the lamp of God has gone out in the temple, and Eli has gone to sleep. How nonchalant, how not caring about this word, that this lamp of God that they were supposed to tend to. He knew the responsibilities, and yet he neglected to do those things. I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, this points to two significant things in our day. Is the word of God given out powerfully that it brings about conviction in the lives of people? And the second thing, do the people of God have God's light in them? Remember, Jesus said, let your light so shine. Well, where's the light? Is the world in darkness? Absolutely. Does the world need the word of God and the revelation of truth? Absolutely. But why isn't it given? Well, I think it points back to the church. And the church in that day, of the God speaking to the people of Israel, was saying to them, these are my concerns. And the good news is, in this passage, God said, you know what? You let my light go out, but I am going to relight the fire. I'm going to send my revelation. I'm going to reveal myself to my people. And I believe the Lord's going to do the same thing in our day. I'm praying that he would do it in my life, that I would be able to understand more of what he's saying to me, and that I would allow his light to shine through me. So we have to ask God, Lord, would you please relight the light that is in us? Cause us to see the things that are going on. Eli went to sleep, but Samuel was awakened from his sleep when God spoke to him. God called him. And I believe that in that event, God was saying to Samuel, I want you to be my light to this people. Sadly, we're seeing the same sad scenario being played out today. Here it is, we're faced with a lot of chaos because of the pandemic. We're faced with a lot of anxiety throughout the world. People are uncertain. They're saying, well, what's next? And what I classify this is the midnight of misery. If ever a time that we needed God's light and God's word to be shining to us, that time is now. That's my prayer, my friend, and I believe it's also your prayer that God would shine his light into this dark place in which we're living in. So we're left with the question, what are we going to do about the fact that God's revelation needs to be given? And what are we going to do about the fact that God wants to shine a light in this world? I believe there's some things that's laid out in this passage that we certainly can do, but we've got to first acknowledge that we have a power outage. When power goes out in our natural homes or in our communities, we call the power company. We say to them, listen, my street doesn't have lights. I don't have lights in my house. I can't use my utensils. I can't use the things in my house. Can't use my appliances. What am I going to do? I'm out of power. Well, when the power goes out in the church, who do you call? We must call on the living God to relight our lives, to relight the fire that is within us. Listen, when you have a power outage, it means no light. You can't see. You can't see what you're doing. You don't understand what you're doing. You're fumbling in the dark. And that's where a lot of people are today. Our national leaders globally are fumbling in the dark because they don't understand this pandemic. And God has said in his word, if I send a plague upon the land, if I send these things into your life, if my people would humble themselves, if my people would pray, that's when God will respond. So we have no light. We have no understanding of what we're going through. But not only that, have you noticed that people now, they have no heat? When you don't have a fire, you don't have heat. And people have grown cold toward one another. There's no love. There's no genuine caring about people. Oh, we get upset when people protest, but what's going to happen when the protests are over? What's going to happen then? Will people genuinely sit down and say, let's pray together? Let's come to an understanding. Jesus said of these last days that the men's heart will fail them for fear, but not only that, the love of many will wax cold. Why? There's no fire. We need God to relight this fire. So we need his understanding. We need the light of his love. I don't know how to love my neighbor unless God shows me. I don't know how to do good to those who despitefully use me unless God shows me. But if you've got fire on the inside, if you've got the love of Christ in your heart that has lighted your life, he will demonstrate to you and show you how to love those that are unlovable. But not only that, we use fire to heat our food. Have you noticed today that people are not nourished by the things of God, but they get their information from the world? And because they get their information from the world, they're spiritually eating junk food. We need the fire of God to supply us with a ready meal. Many times throughout the scripture, God would say, come to the table. Come and enjoy the feast of the Lord. He would say to those who are thirsty, come you who are thirsty. Those who are hungry, come to me and I will feed you. But we got to have fire to prepare these meals. I pray that God, through this message, would give his fire, would lend his fire of the Holy Spirit so it can touch your heart. It certainly has touched mine, and I pray that it would touch yours the same way. The fire needs to be relighted in our lives. We need to depend on God. As the elders would say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help do I know. The real message of truth has to come forth by the fire and the light of God. So how do we do something about this darkness? How do we do something about the situation that we're facing? Three things I want to leave with you in this message. First of all, the light has to be real. The light has to be real. It must be not something that we've fabricated, not something that we've put together, not something that we've decorated, but it has to be the real, genuine light of God. Secondly, the message has to be relevant. If you'll notice, when Samuel received that from God, he heard God clearly, which meant this message is real. Nowadays, we need to hear God clearly, not some imitation, not someone standing behind a screen and booming their voice, pretending to be God. We need to hear the word of God Almighty. And I believe that God is speaking. I believe that God is sharing with us the things that are critical for our lives. So the message has to be real. Samuel was awakened. He woke up four times, total of four times. And on the third time, Eli said to him, go back to sleep. And if he calls to you again, you say to him, thy servant is listening. Hear him, my Lord, your servant is listening. And that's exactly what Samuel did. The message was real. I might be talking to someone right now. You've been at the point where you said, well, maybe there isn't a God. And you've been toying over it. You've been wrestling with that. But I want you to know something right now, that God is real and he's speaking to you right now. You didn't just come upon this website by accident. God sent you here so that you could hear the message that God Almighty is real. And not only is he real, but this message is relevant. It's something that applies to you. Now, the message that Samuel received in that day, he began to tell Eli about the sins of his household. He began to tell them how they were neglecting the things that God told them to do and how God had warned them. I want to warn you today. Do you not know that at the end of your life, you will have to stand before God? And in knowing that, why don't you prepare for that meeting right now by saying, God, reveal yourself to me. This truth is relevant to you. And you know you need God. And you know you call on him every time something goes wrong. Well, if you call on him every time something goes wrong, why don't you call on him to make you right with God? Let him light that fire in you. Yes, this message is relevant. The Bible tells us, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't blow it off. Don't say, well, oh, no, no, that's just a figment of my imagination. No, this is God Almighty. And he loves you enough to warn you in time that one day you will stand before him. Why not respond to him right now the way that Samuel did? See, what Samuel, he didn't know God, but he listened. He paid attention, and God gave him instruction. He'll do the same thing with you if you will listen. And if you will say, Lord, give me the instructions that I need to follow your plan. And then lastly, this message, once you've received it, once this fire of God has been poured out in your heart, it will be something that the world will recognize. The world will know that you're a child of God. They will know. Jesus said they will know. How will they know? They'll know by your fruit. One place in the gospel, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. How do you have a light without fire? When he puts his love and his grace and the power of his spirit into your life, that's when you come alive. Now, I want to tell you something. We've got to recognize that we've had a misunderstanding of the power of the Holy Spirit, which often it says it is the fire of God. The power of the Holy Spirit, listen, it's not some experience that you go through. Even though he does impact our life in powerful ways, the Holy Spirit is not an experience. Listen to me. Don't treat him like an experience. He's more than that. He's God Almighty visiting you. And he speaks in a way that you can understand him. And some people, what they'll do, they'll equate him, the Holy Spirit, as being something emotional. Oh, it's just something that I'm going through. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit, just like Jesus Christ, is a person. And you have to have a relationship with him. You need to have a relationship with him. Your very life depends on you having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John, I will send him to you, and he will be your comforter. He will guide you. He will show you things to come. He will teach you about me, and he will share with you what you need to do. That's how the Holy Spirit works in your life. He's the greatest friend that you'll have because Jesus is your friend, the Holy Spirit is your friend, and he wants to bring the fire of God into your life. So what's going to happen when you get this fire of God into your life? The Bible says in Isaiah that once we have this fire in our life, listen to what it says in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. Now what light? The light of the power of God. The fire of God has come upon you. And because this fire of God is upon you, the Bible says the glory of the Lord, God's glory, has risen in your life. You're going to let your light shine because the glory of the Lord is in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God is in your life. And because you have the fire of God in your life, you can let your light shine. Where do we let it shine? In the darkness. He says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. What about this time we're living in now? Darkness all over the world. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and Gentiles shall come to that light. Unbelievers, ungodly people, people that don't know God, they're going to come to the light. What light? The light in you. We sing that song, and I want to close the message by talking about that. This light of mine, it's not a little light, it's a great light because it's God's light. God's going to set you on fire. And that's in a good way. God's going to come upon you in such a powerful way that you will cause the light of his glory and the light of his love, the light of his wisdom to shine in your life. That prophecy of Isaiah will be fulfilled in you because you love Jesus. So let him in. Let him come in and bring that light. Yes, he's gonna burn up all the things that you don't need, but he'll also come in and renew you through the fire that will be upon you. God bless you. Before we close, I want to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. If you've not done that, just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Bring this fire that this preacher talked about and renew my spirit. And God, I thank you for what you've done. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Watch God do the work. Now, for those of you that want to share in communion, I want to ask you to get your grape juice. It doesn't have to be a lot, just a little bit. Get your grape juice. And as Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and he blessed it, and he said to the people, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it in remembrance of me." You see how personal that is? Jesus is telling you what his body meant when it hung on that cross. Take it in remembrance of him. So take the bread and let us eat together. Then he said, "Take the cup, that grape juice that you have, and as we look at it, it's no longer having a meaning of just being grape juice." He said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Amen. Father, I thank you for these elements. I thank you for those that have received it online. And I pray that you'd bless it so that it could bring meaning and purpose in their lives as we celebrate all that you've done and all that you mean to us. I pray you'd keep us now in your love and in your grace. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, that's all the time that we have. But join us next week where we'll be preaching a message, The Fireworks. God bless you until then.